We're continuing for the next few months on our identity in Christ and understanding who Jesus is, and from Scripture, understanding what Jesus has done for us and where we stand and what God wants to do. And so we're going to return for a minute to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And we're going to look at something that happened, and we're going to relate it to the New Testament, where Jesus comes into Jerusalem. And then we're going to return maybe back to the Old Testament, and then we're going to come back to that story in the New Testament. So Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, 'This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household.'" So what is going to happen here is that God is going to do something very powerful among his people. He's getting them ready. He's preparing them for a new season in their life. Their old life is going to change forever. And what he does is he says through Moses and Aaron to every family, "I want you to go and to choose a lamb. It has to be a special lamb. It has to be a lamb without spot or blemish. You're to choose this lamb and you're to bring it to your house to live with you." And so they go and get a lamb. And if the lamb, if the family is only one or two in the family, they might share a lamb with another family. But they take the lamb and the lamb comes into the house and it lives with them in the room. For a number of days, it lives with them in the room for 5 days, 4 days. So they've chosen the lamb, and then what they're going to do is they're going to sacrifice the lamb. The lamb has to be identified with that family. And then they take the blood of the lamb and they put it on the doorposts, above the doorposts, so that when God's judgment is going to come on the firstborn of Egypt, the people of Israel have to be saved from the judgment. And the way they're saved from the judgment is they take the lamb, they sacrifice the lamb, they put the blood over the doorposts. And when the angel of death comes, it comes and stands before each door. And it looks for the blood of the lamb. And if it sees the blood of the lamb, it passes over. That's what it's called, Passover. It passes over to the next house, and the next door frame. And it looks at every door. And if the blood of the lamb is not on the door, the firstborn is killed. And there is a judgment that comes. And they're told they must not leave the house. They have to stay in the house. They must not leave the house from the time they put the blood over the door. From the time the sunset goes down till the next day, they must not come out. They stay in the house. And from that time forward, God does something and he takes them from that land of bondage and he takes them into a place and good plans that he has for them. That's God's plan. And so right from in Exodus, we have this commandment that God does. And on the 10th of the Hebrew month of Nisan, N-I-S-A-N, not the Japanese car, Nisan, we find that this is one of the most important of the holy days in the Hebrew calendar. It's on the 14th day. Passover takes place on the 14th, but on the 10th, there is something special that has to happen. So on the 10th of Nisan, the first month of the year, the job of the father or the head of the house would be to go, and they'd take the children or the whole family might go, and they'd go and look for the lamb. They'd go into the marketplace. They'd come to a special priest who would have checked the lambs to make sure the lambs were suitable. And they would come and they would buy and purchase a lamb. And then they would take the lamb and take it home to live in their house with them for 5 days, 4 or 5 days. Imagine that. Imagine us going, getting a lamb, taking it home, in the bedroom, in the bathroom, in the kitchen, in the lounge, in the dining room, to live with them. And they had to do that because the lamb had to identify with that family so that when they sacrificed the lamb, they would understand the cost of the lamb. The 10th of Nisan is called the Day of the Lamb. And so in the New Testament, we find Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. And Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey on the 10th of Nisan. Let's read the story. Matthew 21, 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So Palm Sunday, as we know it, is the Day of the Lamb. What were the people doing? The people were doing what God had told them to do, to go and choose the Lamb. They were busying themselves on the Lord's business. They were doing something that they were called to do, and they were obeying God. And their focus for that day was, let's go and choose the Lamb. That's our job today. And they were faithful to God. They were honoring God by going to do that. And with Jesus being led from the Mount of Olives into the city gates, what is happening here, and they do not understand it, is God himself is bringing his own lamb into Jerusalem. God is taking his son and is leading his son as the Lamb of God into Jerusalem, because what God asks others to do, he does himself. Do you know that? God never asks us to do anything he's not willing to do himself. If he says, lay down your life, he's done it himself. So on the day when the Passover lamb was brought into the people's house, God brought his lamb, the Lamb of God, to his house, the house of Israel. He brought them to Jerusalem and specifically to the temple. And just as the lambs on the 10th of Nisan had to be sacrificed on Passover by those who dwelt in their house, so too the Lamb of God would be sacrificed on Passover by those who lived in Jerusalem. The Lamb of God had to come to the house of God so that salvation could come, so that the blessings could come. I want to say to us, if you don't know Jesus today, let me tell you, he'll be the best friend you'll ever have. He's more than your friend, he's your saviour. But he'll be the best friend you ever have. But when Jesus comes, he has to come into this house so that salvation can come. He has to come and live in this house, in every room, and identify himself with us so that salvation can come. Does that make sense? The day you gave your life to Jesus, you invited him into your house. And you said to Lord Jesus, take all of me, come and live within me and identify yourself with me. It's only when we bring the Lamb home that fullness of salvation can start in our life. Should we learn a bit of Hebrew? Is that okay? So if we look at the winter time, the word for winter in Hebrew is sitav. Sitav means it's a season of hiding or a time of darkness. The winter is a season of hiding. It's a season of darkness. It's a season of barrenness. And it's a season of death. Esther and I have been watching programs about Alaska. I don't know if any of you have seen them. It's pretty, pretty dire in Alaska in the winter periods of time. But each year, the winter ends with the coming of the Hebrew month of Nisan. Nisan is the first month of the year, but it declares something else. It declares the winter time is over. Nisan is a season that ends the season of darkness and it breaks the death of winter. It's the month where the earth bears its fruit and when flowers begin to blossom. It's the month of new life. The word Nisan means new beginnings. For some of you here today, this is a season of new beginnings for your life. We're going to talk about that in a minute. It's when things begin anew. Now, for those of you that know me for some time, you know that I'm not a gardener or haven't been a gardener. Isn't that true? You saw my one plant that died. Poor old Jane tried to give it the kiss of life. Nothing. So I decided I'm going to learn to do something about gardening. I'm taking up a hobby. Some of you would be pleased to know other than church. So I've started to work in my garden in my new house and I've started to redesign the garden and the lawns and put new plants in and I've bought some nice plants and I've got an apple tree in my garden and different things. And before I went to Romania a few weeks ago, the buds were starting to come out. There was new life starting. And I said to Esther something really profound, honestly. She just looked at me. I said, there's going to be some buds on, there's some flowers when I come back from Romania. They're going to have leaves on the trees. And she goes, yeah. And sure enough, when I came back, there were flowers on the trees. There were leaves. But you know, we've got a tree in our garden that Esther have dedicated to my mum who passed away and Esther's dad who passed away. And we used to be in a pot and we planted it in the ground. Now this year, something has happened. Esther said, have you seen how this is growing in a different way? Now it's in the ground. We had different patterns of leaves and more of them together. And then we've got an apple tree where the blossom is coming out, which is going to tell us that there's going to be some fruit. The winter season is over and a new season's beginning. And I'm looking forward to enjoying God in my garden. Because you know, God speaks what he does in the physical, he does in the spiritual as well. We just need to understand that. It's significant because Nisan is the month of redemption. It's the month of the Messiah. It's the month the Messiah rode into Jerusalem, died on a cross, rose from death to life. So Nisan is the season of life and new birth, and it ends the winter. When we accept Jesus into our life, when we invite him to come, Jesus ends the winter in our lives. If we allow him. The problem is sometimes we settle for second best, not the best. And we don't enter from one season to another. But Jesus wants to end the winter in our lives. And you know what? Only he can do that. Do you know that? I could try and plant plants in the winter and nothing would happen. Got to wait until Jesus does things in our life. Jesus ends the darkness. He ends the time of hiding. Some of you are in hiding. Some of you are like, I can't do anything. I'm useless. I'm worthless. God couldn't want to use me. You're in hiding. It's a season that you're not bearing any fruit, that you're just thinking just, God couldn't possibly want to use me in any particular way at all. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve it. I've made the same mistake again as I've always done. And you're not bearing the fruit that Jesus has created you to bear. I want to speak over you today. Your winter is ending in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? Your winter is ending in Jesus' name. You are going to bear the fruit God has created you to bear. When God created you, he created you to bear fruit that would last, and it will last. Second Corinthians 5:17. I want to tell you, for the Christian, it's always Nisan. It's always Nisan. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a... Who is he? Who is she? The new creation has come. The old has gone. Where's the new? It's here. It's what the Word of God says. It's here right now. You are the new creation, and it is here. The time of winter for your life is over. It is here. Do you believe that? Are you going to refuse to stay in winter anymore? Are you going to allow Jesus to bring and bear that fruit in your life? The new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Every time you feel the enemy says to you, you're as bad as you were before, you say, no, the new has come in Jesus' name. When the enemy tells you lies and says you're useless or a failure, you say, no, the new has come. It is here. I want you to write that down in your notes. Highlight it. Because the enemy will seek to tell you that you're useless and worthless and couldn't possibly be used by God. You don't deserve it. And of course we don't. You say, no, the new has come. The new is here. In the Old Testament, we have this amazing scripture. It's a lovely scripture. It's found in the book of Song of Solomon. And we know the Song of Solomon, it's supposed to be a love song, isn't it? Between a man and a woman. It's like one of those romance model books ladies would read, you know. But it's not just about that. It's about how Jesus loves his church. Do you know that? When that was written, it talks about you and I today. Let's look at a wonderful verse. This is amazing. When I was started to read this verse, you know, it did something amazing for me. If he can do it for me, do you know what? He can do it for you. Song of Solomon 2, verse 10. My beloved spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. Isn't that lovely? The Lord is saying that. See, the winter is what? Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? The rains are gone. That over and gone, the winter is past. Let's keep reading. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. Let's read again. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come to me, darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. In one version it says, the season of singing has come. The season of singing has come. Now, many of you know I love to sing. Some of you don't know that when I was 3 years of age, I was deaf. God healed me. And part of me singing is the fact that God has healed my body and I'm able to worship him in the way I do. And I will never be quiet. But a season of singing is coming for you. For some, it's already come. You're singing a new song and you're going to sing an even greater song as you understand who you are in Christ. I want to tell you, it's time to break out of the winter. It's time to break out of every darkness. It's time for you to bear fruit God has created you to bear. For a few minutes, I want us to move to another special day. Another special day in the Hebrew calendar in our history. It's called the Day of the Reshit. You will find the word Reshit right in the beginning of Genesis. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. The word beginning is Reshit. We looked at it in the study of in the beginning. If you want to look at the study, it's on the internet or there's notes at the back. And you can take those. But let's look at Leviticus 23, 9 to 11. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain of your harvest. He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. The Hebrew is called the Day of the Reshit. What would happen is, on this day, they would start to collect the harvest and they would stop. They would collect some of the harvest and they would go to the priest and the priest would lift the grain offering up and give thanks to God and declare that God, this is the first fruits of our harvest. You say the word first fruit. This is the first fruit of our harvest. And they would ask God to bless it. And they would thank God for the whole harvest that was coming in. And the whole harvest had been dedicated to God and blessed to God from waving and lifting up this offering. Lift your hands up. Give me a wave. This is called the day of the reshit. The reshit is the first fruits. It's the beginning of the harvest. It's the first blossoming. This is the first grain of a new harvest. What would take place on the day after the Sabbath of the Passover? What took place on the day after the Sabbath of the Passover? Sunday. Clue. Jesus rose from the dead. I want to tell you that everything God does, he has a plan and a purpose for. It doesn't just happen. As we study the word of God, God plans and works out his plan and his plan of redemption. This day, the day after the Sabbath of the Passover, was going to be the day when Jesus brings an end to winter. A new season was going to happen for the world. We know the world is fallen. We know the curse of the winter, and we know the shadow of death hangs over it. But God had a plan to redeem mankind. God's plan was the promise of redemption, that one day the curse of death and barrenness would be broken. The first fruits would break the winter and bring new life. Do you see the relevance of this day? Do you see the importance of this day? So Jesus dies on Passover. Then we have what we call Black Sabbath, which is not the band that people play and listen to. We have Black Sabbath, the Black Day. And then he rose on the third day, which was the day after the Sabbath. He rose on the day of the reshit as the first fruits. And he was lifted up to the Lord. He was lifted up and dedicated back to the Lord God. He was the first to be risen from the dead for the church, that you and I, when we die, are going to be raised. He was the first fruit. That's good news for us, isn't it? We're going to talk about death in a minute. Jesus had to die to be raised up on that particular day. At the appointed time, it was always God's plan. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:20 to 23. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. What does it say? The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also came through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Isn't that amazing news for us, church? If Jesus comes back today, he's going to raise us up to be with him. If we leave this earth first before he comes back, he's going to raise us up to be with him. The day of the resurrection is the day of the reshit. It had to happen on that appointed day, when the first fruits were raised up from the earth, because Jesus is the reshit, the first fruits, who ends the winter of our lives, who begins spring and gives us new life. I want to tell you, isn't that wonderful news for us? Isn't that an amazing mystery that God would choose to do that for us? Matthew 28, verse 1 to 6. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the Lamb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were like white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified." What does he say? He's what? He is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. He is not here, he is risen. On Passover, when Jesus said to them, I am going to suffer much, they didn't even understand it. They were more interested in who's going to be the greatest. And also, I couldn't possibly deny you, Jesus. Never say that, by the way. Never say things you don't know what's going to happen to. They never knew that they were going to go through this process where a few days later an angel's going to come and say, he's not here, he's risen. They didn't understand fully what Jesus was doing. And you know, sometimes in our life, we don't understand what Jesus is doing. What Jesus is doing right now. What is he doing here in this room right now in your life? And we don't even know it. So he's not here. He is risen. I think all of us here have been to a funeral. We've been to a place of death. We've gone where it seems hopeless, where we've been in a room with people and we've wept with them as there is this sense of, I'm not going to see this person this side of heaven again. It's a place of hopelessness. It's a depressing place. It's a sorrowful place. And what else can be more despairing than a graveside? What else? I want to say to you that of all places on earth, redemption began in the tomb. Started in the tomb. Faith begins in the tomb. Faith begins in the tomb because we believe he is not here, he is risen. You can only be saved if you believe that Jesus is not dead, because he can't come and live you if he's dead. He can't come and live in your life, can he? He has to be alive and well. The good news begins in the tomb. The message of salvation begins in the tomb. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Just as he said. Normally a tomb is where hopes and dreams end, where life ends. I've done a funeral where people have said, you know, that life was cut so short. If they'd have lived longer, they'd have done so many things with their life. It seems that at the tomb, our hopes and dreams end. It seems that that's the finality of it, but not in God's kingdom. Because in God, the tomb is the place of the end becomes the place of the beginning. Do you believe that? When I die, I'm going to heaven. It's the end of life on here. It's the beginning of something new. I'm going to see my mom. I'm going to see my father-in-law. I'm going to see the people I love in Jesus. I'm absolutely 100 any male percent you can have. No, it's going to happen. At my mom's funeral, I stood in the church and I said these words, where, O death, is your victory, where, O death, is your sting. The sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is victory in death because of what Jesus has done. Of course, none of us want to lose ones. We love ones. We don't. We want them with us. Of course we do. But for us, it's not the end, it's the beginning. And Jesus shows this on this day of Rashid, on this day where his life is given back up to God and he's raised up and he's the first fruit. The thing is with the kingdom of God, it's different to the kingdom of this world. It's so radically different. In God, the journey goes not from life to death, but from death to life. The end is the beginning. So we find life. To find life, we have to come to the tomb. We come to a place of death and we find life. I want to say sometimes people do come to know Jesus when they've come to the end of themselves. Do you know that? You might be one of those people today. You might have gone through some awful stuff in your life and the reason you became a Christian is because you come to the end of everything. There was no hope. Everything was hopeless. It was, what's the point? There's no reason for living if this is what life's about. You came to the end of yourself and you said, look, I can't live like this. And Jesus comes on a donkey in his presence to you, not literally. Jesus comes to you and he gives you hope. Only those who come to a place of the end can enter a new beginning. Matthew 16:25 says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Jesus says we have to lose our life to find it. Can I say sometimes the reason we're still in Setev in the winter is because we want to live our own life and not die to ourselves. Does that make sense? If you want to go deeper and farther in God, you're going to have to die to yourself. I'm going to have to die to myself in order to live in him. If you want to stay in a winter season, you can stay. You can live for yourself. You can do the things you've always done. You can stay on the shore. You can stay where it's comfortable. You can enjoy whatever second best is. But I want to say to you today, you need for yourself and for others to die to yourself so that you may live. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to me today that there are people here today that you have been completely crushed by others. And it's a sense of self-preservation. If I don't do that, then I'm not going to get hurt by other people. I'm not going to... I'll just stay where I am and I'll just be where I am. And I just don't want to move forward because I don't want to get hurt. And I'm sorry that those things have happened to you. But if you stay where you are, you'll always have what you've got right now. Do you want it? I don't want those things. I want manna, fresh manna today from the Lord Jesus. Today is your day of a new beginning. Do you want it? Just to remind us of our study in the beginning, we found that the Lamb of God is given to save all people. In Hebrew, we have this word tole, which is T-A-H-E-L. Tole means lamb. And from tole comes the word which means covering. Do you remember we said this? That when God sees us, he doesn't see us as a person. He sees the lamb above our head. He sees Jesus when he looks to us. This is the tole lamb. This is in Hebrew, tole. The lamb is our covering. In Hebrew, I have these two words together, which is I think is so beautiful when you study it. It's called tole Elohim. And it means Messiah, the Lamb of God. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one who is entirely pure, innocent, without blemish, without evil. God had to look for somebody that was pure, without blemish in the world. And he looked and he looked and he looked and he could find no one. And he looked to his son and he sees a spotless lamb. And he chooses the lamb. Tole, tole Elohim, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. Do you remember we looked at Abraham and Isaac? We know the story well, don't we? And they're going up to sacrifice. And Abraham gives Isaac the wood to carry. Do you remember that they both came on a donkey, by the way, to the same place where Jesus died? Like Jesus came into Jerusalem. They came on a donkey carrying wood. And Isaac says to his dad, "Dad, we've got everything that we need for the sacrifice, but we've got something missing." And dad goes, "What is it, son?" He goes, "Sacrifice." And the father looks at the son into his eyes and says these words, "God himself will provide the sacrifice." God himself will provide the lamb. In Jesus, spotless Lamb of God, we find this, that in the place of hopelessness, we find hope. In the place of sorrow, we find true joy. In the place of death, we're born again. In the tomb, we are born. Let's return again to the Passover. The Hebrew day begins at sundown and ends at sundown. So today's Sunday. Sunday in the Hebrew calendar would have started last night. Is that right? We all understand that, do we? Okay. Thursday night, the Passover began. This is where Jesus says, I have fervently desired to eat Passover with you. From this point on, after the Last Supper, everything turned towards Jesus' suffering and his death. Do you know, sometimes on church we've done a little bit of a countdown clock. Remember, see those? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Jesus is on countdown now. Jesus got up from the last meal. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was arrested and brought to the priests. They put him on trial. They condemned him to death. In the morning, they took him to Pontius Pilate. He was beaten, mocked, whipped. He was led through the streets of Jerusalem, and he was nailed to a cross. He suffered for 6 cruel hours, and at the appointed time, he gave up his spirit, and he said, it is finished. They took his body down. They laid him in a tomb. The sun set over Jerusalem, and the day was finished. And it all took place from sunset to sunset. And this all happened on a day that the Jews called the sixth day. The sixth day. Let's look at this just before we finish now in about 4 minutes. Let's return right the way to the beginning of Genesis and see how God had a plan right the way from the beginning of time for you and I. I want to say to you as we study this, before you were even conceived in the womb, God had a plan for your life. Before you were even a twinkle in mom and dad's eye, God had a plan for your life. Today is part of that plan. Let's look at God's plan. On the sixth day, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God says, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth. Every tree that has fruit with seed in it, that will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and to all the birds in the sky and the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Have you ever noticed that? It doesn't say there's morning and evening. It says there's evening and there's morning. Jesus had to accomplish everything he needed to do in that one day, the sixth day. God is a God of order. He has a God of plan. When he created mankind, he knew what he would need to do to send his son on that day. It was already written in the story. History was already determined what Jesus would have to do on that day after the Sabbath and that Passover. Jesus accomplished all that had to be done to redeem mankind on the sixth day, the day of man. He died for the sins of man, the guilt of man, and the fall of man. He did it all on the day of man to accomplish man's redemption. God's plans are utterly amazing, aren't they? Don't you think that's amazing the way God works? We want God to move in the way we want him to do. And he goes, do you want second best then? Do you want me to give you that? When actually what I want to do is give you this. So often we complain, God, oh, please don't let this happen to me right now. And God says, do you want my best? Do you want me to show you, even in the depths of despair and hopelessness, that I have a plan for you? God's plan was to redeem mankind. God's ways truly are higher than our ways. They're different to the way we see things. I quite often now am praying a different way. I'm saying, God, help me to see things through your eyes. Help me to hear what you're saying today. I want to hear it. I want to know. I don't want to see things as I've always seen them, because I'll only ever have what I've always had. And I'm fed up of only having what I've always had. I want to have what you've got for me now. Does that make sense? And I'm not content. I am not content to see the things I've always seen before. I don't want it anymore. I want the fruit that we are created to bear, that I'm created to bear, to come into being. I want the winter season to finish, and I want to see the fruit to be seen. Don't stay in the winter season. Musicians, could you just be on a 2-minute-ish warning? When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, absolutely no one understood the significance. Not even the disciples. They were having a great time. You have turned my morning into dancing. Palm leaves, blankets, party. I didn't understand the significance of what Jesus was doing. The people in Jerusalem, they were trying to do godly things. They were going to get the lamb. Come on, we've got to get the lamb. They bump into another Jew. What are you doing? I'm getting the lamb. Oh, yeah, you're getting the lamb. I'm going to go and get the lamb a bit of time. Busy themselves. They're doing all good things. Good is the enemy of best. Do you understand that? They were doing good things, but they didn't realize that the presence of the living God was there, the Lamb of God, who was going to come and take the sins of the world, that in a few days he was going to change the whole course of history of this world. They didn't realize it because they were so busy doing the stuff. And today, we can be so busy doing the stuff. I have to get up early in the morning on Sunday, come to church, get the room ready. Some of the worship team come early, you know, John and I are here early, we were some of the last to go, you know, we're always busy. But what is God saying right now at 12:15, if that clock is right, on this bank holiday weekend, the festival? As Jesus walking in his donkey and the presence of God, what is he saying? What is he wanting to do right now in your life? We can be thinking about all that's going to happen this weekend. We can be so busy, and we've come to church and we're here because we love Jesus. That's great. It's wonderful, but we can have what's good and not always the best. And it's important we do come together to the church to enjoy the presence of God together. But what I believe God wants to do is something in our life, in the business of doing things. I think God wants us to realize that he's doing something amazing in our lives right now. See you later. What does he want to do with you right now? Ben, could you come and play for me for a minute? And then the other musicians, if you'd like to take your positions for a minute. I want you to close your eyes where you are right now. I want to remind you today that Jesus, the Nisan Lamb, rode into Jerusalem because he loved you, and only he could die for you. He came at a specific time called Nisan, which is April, to end the winter season in your life and to give you fruit that will last. Everything he did, he fulfilled what God the Father had planned for him to do. Absolutely everything. Not did he only fulfill it, he did it at exactly the appointed time. He gave up his spirit at exactly the appointed time. No man took it from him. And there is an appointed time right now for you, right now. I believe God is ministering to a number of people here. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just going to ask you to sit where you are and realize that this is your time now. I'm declaring over your life today, this winter period has come to an end now in Jesus' name. It's finished. In Jesus' name, he has broken the barrenness and the darkness. He stepped into your life, and that fruit that he's called you to bear will come about in Jesus' name. The buds are already on the branches. They've already started. This year, you are going to produce fruit you've never produced before. Fruit in abundance. Fruit that is so different than you've ever had before. Like my apple tree, it's going to have apples this year. I didn't have apples last year. This year, it's having apples. I'm going to bring them in and I'm going to eat it in front of you. Because I can see it's going to happen. And the Lord Jesus now is saying to you, I'm looking at you right now in how you're going to be completing this. Not as you are right now. It's going to be a year of difference for you. Don't stay where you are. If you stay where you are, you'll have what you've always had and you have second best. And the Lord Jesus says to you today, I want you to have my best. Thank you, Lord. Will you respond? Will you respond today by refusing to stay where you are and to move with him? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, your word is powerful. It is living, it is active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, when we realize what your word says, it just amazes us. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in each and every life, in the life of the people in this church. Thank you, Lord. Not only are you singing over them, they're starting to sing a new song. As the first fruits start to appear now in their life, something that hasn't been there for a long time. Thank you, Jesus. We love you so much. Isn't God good? Who believes God's wonderful? And you know what? He's chosen you. That's even good. Great news for us, isn't it? He's chosen you. Thank you, worship team. And he's talking to you as well, even though you're sitting there and my back was turned to you. I believe that as well for each and every one of you. Thank you so much.